Greetings to the Path family. Our slogan at the Path is meeting you where you are. We invite you to follow, share, and check us out on social media. You may connect with us at any time, anywhere, on Facebook at The Path Church or Instagram and Twitter at Join the Path. Without further delay, enjoy this week's sermon.
So we are in week 3 of Untamed. Say it with me, Untamed. That was real tame. So we're going to try it one more time. Week 3 of what? Untamed. And in these last few weeks, we have really talked about how important it is for us to go on an adventure with God. But y'all, I got to admit, this morning is the end of a long weekend. You know, on Friday night, the singles ministry, they had a time on Friday night. We got the picture of Friday night. Man, I've never seen a game night like that before. And then yesterday, we were able to see our brother Eric and our sister Tina as they joined together in matrimony. And so it was just a beautiful event. It was beautiful, it was packed, and it was a long night. But I'm excited because we are getting ready to jump into what it means to really just follow Jesus on a journey. And so in week 1, if you weren't with us, I talked about what it meant to be about that action. And you know, Mike said I would teach y'all a couple of new words. And in that week, I did teach you a few new words. Some of y'all didn't know what certain things were. And it's okay. That's why I'm here. But then in week 2, Pastor Angel talked about the cage of responsibility and routine, and how if we're going to follow the movement of the Holy Spirit, we have to be okay with breaking out of the cage of routine and responsibility. And he hit us with this one-liner right here. Everybody got hit by this. He said, hurry kills compassion and blurs conviction. Whew! That was an Angel Maldonado exclusive right there. But we saw how it's so easy for us to get so caught up in routine, get so caught up in the ways that we're living our lives, that we miss the move of the Holy Spirit when the Holy Spirit wants us to do something different. And so I want to encourage you, go back to our YouTube page and watch the first 2 weeks. But here in week 3, we're going to talk about another cage that has the potential to hinder us in our adventures with God. And that cage is the cage of assumption. You know, for many of us, we may not even recognize it, but daily we live based off of a lot of assumptions. I mean, in order for you to get here, you assumed that your legs would work. You assumed that your eyes would work. You assumed that your car would work. You assumed those seats you were sitting in were going to hold you up. And so we live our lives based on a lot of assumptions. I mean, even if you're watching online right now, you're assuming that invisible data is going to take care of your Wi-Fi so you can even stream us right now. But you see, you all get the point. We have a plethora of assumptions that we face every day. But what if I told you that there are certain assumptions we make that hinder us from seeing what God wants us to see and experiencing the miraculous things that God has in store for us by pursuing the Holy Spirit? You see, there are times when God wants to take us further. There are times when God wants to take us higher. But our assumptions get the best of us. And so I want to see right now, we have our mentee going. If you're not familiar, just go to mentee.com and type in this number, 5555-7875, because we like to be a little interactive here. And so on mentee, I want to ask you this. Which of these assumptions do you resonate with from this week? Just this week. Don't think about the last 2 weeks, the last month. Just this week, which assumptions resonated for you? God can't use me. The person that's talking to me doesn't love me or believe in me. I'm sinful. I'm just too far gone. God can't do anything with me. Or I'm not significant enough to make a difference. Or none of the above. If you have been walking on cloud 9 and none of these apply to you, that is perfectly fine. But which one resonates with you? Most of us believe God can use us. But it's okay. If you don't feel like God can use you, it's great that you are here in this place, because it is an opportunity for us to be able to work together to see how God can use us. I mean, I'm glad to see most of the people in the room who answered said none of the above. That's great. But for some of us, we have bought into the lie that I can't make a difference. For some of us, we bought into the lie, I'm sinful, and so God can't do anything with me. God wants nothing to do with me. But you see, no matter where you are in your journey, no matter where you are in your pursuit of the working of the Holy Spirit, I want to take us to a character that I believe we can all relate to. In Judges chapter 6, it's a man named Gideon. Judges chapter 6, and we're going to start in verse 11. Are you there? Stay there. If you need a moment, say, hold up. All right. The angel of the Lord came and sat down under the oak in Ophrah that belonged to Joash the Abizrite, where his son Gideon was threshing wheat in a wine press to keep it from the Midianites. When the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." Verse 13, Gideon replied, "Pardon me, my Lord, but if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us?" Anybody relate? If the Lord is with me, then why are bad things happening? And then he says, "Where are all his wonders that our ancestors told us about when they said, 'Did not the Lord bring us out of Egypt?' But now the Lord has abandoned us and given us into the hand of Midian." Verse 14, the Lord turned to him and said, "Go in the strength you have and save Israel out of Midian's hands. Am I not sending you?" "Pardon me, my Lord," Gideon replied, "but how can I save Israel? Excuse me, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my family." And the Lord answered, "I will be with you, and you will strike down all the Midianites, leaving none alive." Gideon replied, "Now I have found favor in your eyes. If, give me a sign that it really is you talking to me." You're asking a whole lot, Gideon. But you see, I love how the Lord responds. Verse 18, "Please do not go away until I come back and bring my offering and set it before you." And the Lord said, "I'll wait until you return." You see, as we take our time to study this character, Gideon, we find ourselves in an interesting place in the biblical narrative. In the history of Israel, they have already had Moses who helped them out of Egypt, who had Joshua who led them into the promised land, but now they're in the middle. They're in this, what I would call, liminal space. Y'all can write that down, look it up later. Liminal space. And what liminal space is I'm not where I will be, and I'm not where I was, and so I feel stuck in the middle. And so Israel as a nation is stuck in the middle, and so they don't have a king yet. We read about Saul and David later on, but they're there, and according to the first few verses in chapter 6, they're stuck. The Midianites have oppressed them for 7 years. They've been trying to figure it out, and they go through this pattern. Y'all know what the pattern is? The pattern is this. "We love you, God. Thank you. All right, God, forget you. God, help us." God's like, "I hear you. God, I send you somebody." And then start all over again. "God, we love you. God, we don't need you." Now, I don't know if anybody can relate to that. I mean, I think we all probably have had those times in our walk with God where we go through the same pattern. And so Israel as a nation was going through this. And so Yahweh was good enough for a time, and then they started leaning into the idols of their region, leaning into the idols of their space, leaning into the idols of the people around them. And so they started worshiping Baal. They start going to the Asherah poles. They start leaning into all of these things. And so we find ourselves where the Israelites are just bullied, they're beat down, and they're depressed. And God meets this lowly man named Gideon. You know, God could have appeared to somebody that had a little more stature. I mean, Gideon was the lowest of the low. He was in a wine press threshing wheat. Now, none of us have probably ever threshed wheat or pressed wine, but they don't go together. You don't go under a tree to make sure you get the wheat from the chaff. You need the wind to blow. You need open air. You need to be elevated. But guess what? They couldn't do it because they were scared of the Midianites. And so even while he was working in fear. You know, Gideon and the angel of the Lord had an exchange. You know, they had an exchange, and he found himself caged in a number of assumptions. I mean, those assumptions forced him to see the world in a way that was limited, forced him to see the world in a way that had capped potential. But God was trying to help him, and God is trying to help us to really embrace no ceilings. And so, you know, I got to be honest with y'all. No Ceilings is the name of a Lil Wayne mixtape. And so when I picked it, I thought about how we put limits on God, and then I started thinking about Lil Wayne mixtape. Anyway, you see, the way it works is that we often put a cap on what God can do. We say, God, I know you want the amazing to happen, but I want to settle for the mediocre. Because the mediocre allows me to stay hidden away. The mediocre allows me to stay under a rock. The mediocre allows me to stay in a place where I don't have to get stretched. But the Holy Spirit is working. The Holy Spirit is trying to push us to dream bigger, to expect the impossible, and to see how far we are willing to follow. And so when we look at our man Gideon, he had a physical ceiling, he had a spiritual ceiling, and his fear and his assumption about what the Midianites could do hindered where he could go. You know, I think it's interesting, sometimes we have the same issues over and over again. God, you can't push me past my ceiling. My ceiling is serving in this way, but you're trying to push me to serve this way. My ceiling is to help this type of person, but you're trying to push me to help this type of person. My ceiling is to just show up to church, but you want me to push me to be a little more committed. I'm not going there just yet, but what assumptions do we see in Gideon? I mean, his first assumption in verse 13 was God has abandoned them. He assumed because bad things were happening, God was no longer present. His second assumption was God couldn't use him because he was the weakest. He was from the weakest clan. He was the lowest of the low, the lower tribe. He was the least in his family. And so he assumed God couldn't use him. And his third assumption was that it wasn't God that was talking to him. Verse 13, 15, and 17. But the interesting thing is in verse 12, he gets called a mighty warrior. In verse 14, God says, go in the strength you have. In verse 16, God says, I will be with you. And so God preempted all his assumptions with everything he needed in order to move forward. See, as I studied this, I came to realize that in order for God to take us where God wants us to go, we got to take the limits off and embrace a kid-like curiosity. And that's my first point today, kid-like curiosity. Everybody say it with me, kid-like curiosity. Now, if you have small kids, you know that kids ask all the questions. All day. Why is the sky blue? Why are we outside? Why are we inside? How do you do that? Where does that go? Why can't we do that? Sometimes I'm like, can you be quiet? I love y'all kids. I do. I'm not talking about y'all kids. I'm talking about other kids. But think about it. Think about all the small kids you know. And for those of you with small kids, you know there's a time you got to cut off of questions. And yet, they got all the questions when it's bedtime. It's like, it's time to go to bed. Actually, I had another question. No, go to bed. But see, if we're going to escape the cage of assumptions, we got to be willing to ask the questions. We got to be willing to investigate and ask ourselves, what assumptions am I holding on to? Personally, what am I holding on to? You know, I look at our story of Gideon and begin to ask, what would happen if he responded with a kid-like curiosity? Instead of saying, if, are you really, man, this is what's going on, as if God didn't know. What if Gideon said, God, what's your plan? God, if you're talking to me, obviously you got a plan because I got nothing. God, if you're seeking after me, it's obviously something you want me to accomplish that somebody else can't accomplish. And so what would have happened if he embraced curiosity? You know, brothers and sisters, I believe all of us sitting here has something placed inside of us that God specifically wants us to bring to the earth. Now, there may be ideas that we have and somebody else has it and runs with it, but I think there's a special sauce that you have when you get to do it. There's a special seasoning on it when God says, you know what, that person was obedient, and instead of saying it couldn't happen, they said, what if it works? Instead of saying this is impossible, they said, God, show me the way. How does this work? Why me? But even if you don't say why, I'll go anyway. You know, I think about how we often look at our situations personally and collectively and communally and say, God, you got to bring everything together for this to work. And I think about my own journey. Tomorrow I start my last semester of seminary. And I'm grateful for y'all because y'all have put up with me when I'm tired, overworked. And I'm grateful because God has allowed me to go through this journey with y'all. And I never thought it would happen. If I had to think about the limitations that existed in my life, I mean, undergrad, I finished undergrad with a 2.55 GPA. Not because I couldn't do the work, not because I was incapable. It's because there were various extenuating circumstances. Y'all know my life. But one day I was preaching, and a brother walked up to me and said, "You ever thought about seminary?" I said, "Yeah, but who's going to pay for it?" See, I made some assumptions that while God was trying to use me, I had to come up with the answers. He said, "Oh, I ain't worried about that. I'll pay for it. I just want to know if you want to go." And so I'm like, okay, well, in my head, I made some more assumptions. I'm like, well, what's the strings? There's got to be strings. He said, there's no strings attached. I just want to see you flourish. And so I get to the end of last fall, and I'm like, oh, snap. Well, I'm out of money. This is not a cheap degree. So, God, you got to come through for your boy. So I go and I meet the dean and director of admissions and say, "Jazz, what you need?" I said, "I need the rest of my tuition paid." They said, "Okay." There was no fight. There was no them trying to figure it out. They're like, "Hey, man, we got money. We..." But I wasn't even supposed to be there. Even before I applied, one of my friends said, "I want you in seminary with me." So he called the director of admission, put us on three-way, and said, "Jazz needs to be in the school." And we hung up. So I applied, but it really just came from God opening doors. And so I say this because every step along the way, I had made assumptions. I assumed that my credentials were not good enough. I assumed that I wouldn't have a way to pay for it. I assumed that God couldn't use somebody to get me in the door. I assumed that God wasn't with me. You know, it's the same thing Gideon felt, but I think for all of us, we got to go back to ask, what are the assumptions I'm holding on to? You know, I want to ask y'all, and it's anything you put in there, what assumptions are you holding on that put a ceiling on God? What assumptions are you holding on to that put a ceiling on what God can do? Let me see what y'all come up with. Not enough time. I can do it alone. Worry. Family, finances, career. I can't handle the success. Ooh, the fear of success. We don't talk about that. Max out potential. Age. We could go on and on and on. All of us have our assumptions. And yet God is saying, "I want to use you." You know, I put up a poll earlier this week on Instagram, and people said the same thing. They said, "God can't use my weakness." Some people say, "You know what, I think God has his favorites, so I'm just here to support the star players." Somebody else said, "God's not trying to use anyone living in sin. I'm too sinful. God ain't giving nobody new gifts, so God just wants to use me with the gifts I have. God can't use me because I'm not equipped enough." And the list goes on and on. I mean, we could be here all day reading what you all are putting up. But I love the story of Gideon because Gideon felt that. Gideon felt so many of these things and said, "You know what? There's no reason God should be calling me to defeat these people. These people have been oppressing us. These people have been holding us hostage. He felt like he wasn't equipped, but God said, mighty warrior. When God said, mighty warrior, he said, I'm the least. When God said, go in the strength you had, he says, is it really you? You see, God allows us to go through all of this so that we can really lean into who God wants us to be. You know, our assumptions will get the best of us if we don't pull back and say, God, where are we and where do you want us to be? You know, some of us, somebody put age, and I think about this. Sometimes kid-like curiosity isn't just about being chronologically or physically a kid. Sometimes it's going back to how we felt when we first studied the Bible. When we first went on an adventure with God and said, God, you can do anything. God, I'm going to go out and share my faith with everybody I see. You didn't really get pulled back by the fear of rejection. You didn't really get pulled back by the fear of how people would receive you. You just went and did it. I mean, I think about when I first became a disciple, I said, you know, I'm going to preach on 6 continents. There was nothing in me that said that was impossible. But over time, I started allowing myself to assume, am I going to fly there? Am I going to ride a boat there? How am I going to get there? Who's going to invite me? Do I know anybody in Europe? Do I know anybody in Asia? And then COVID hit. And I ended up preaching on 4 continents over the internet. But over and over again, God is reminding us that it's not on our timing. It's not the way that we think it should be. It's not in the manner that makes the most sense to us. It's how is God going to move and work? See, truth is, there are times we've been fully confident, but then over time, disappointment sets in, frustration sets in, insecurity sets in, fear sets in, and all of these things pile on us. But if we take the limits off, if we take the ceilings off, where is God going to take us collectively and individually? See, when we become like the Israelites, we drift, we forget, we start worshiping our assumptions rather than worshiping God. We start worshiping our assumptions rather than walking with God. And so it becomes, how do we know we're worshiping our assumptions rather than walking with God? I'll tell you this, it starts sounding like the only way God can move powerfully is if he's confined to the way I think. The only way God can do immeasurably more than I ask or imagine is if it looks exactly the way I wrote it out in my journal. If it looks exactly the way I wrote it out in my vision board. But what if God says, I just need you to see me. I just need you to see that I am working even when you're sleeping. I need you to understand that I'm moving even when you don't want to move. You know, I'm going to keep bringing it up. We talking about playing the church. And I get it. We are tied up in, we love what God has done. We love how God is moving. We love all of that. And we want to be here with a nice 20-inch cushy seats. And yet, God is trying to nudge some of us to move. God is trying to nudge some of us to take a step of faith. I mean, we met in school cafeterias. We met in Chick-fil-A's. We met in living rooms. We have met in Atlantic Station, hotel ballrooms, the Buckhead Theater. We've been everywhere from 200 square feet to 2,000 square feet. And so when we talk about how God is going to move, we got to question our assumptions. We got to question the assumption of, well, is it going to look exactly the way it looks over on Bolton Road? Is it going to take exactly what it takes over on Bolton Road? Is it going to be exactly what it is on Bolton? And the question is, the answer is, we don't know. We don't know what God is going to do. But you see, faith is not logical. Faith is theological. Faith does not ignore reality. It just adds God to the equation. You know, in our book, Wild Goose Chase, this is what Batterson says. Faith does not ignore reality. It just adds God into the equation. Sometimes we don't even recognize we remove God from the equation. Sometimes we move and we say, God, just bless what I'm doing. That way you're still in the mix. But faith says there are infinite possibilities. And that's my second and final point today. Infinite possibilities. You see, in Judges 6:15, Gideon says, how? Verse 16, God says, I'm with you. I don't know who I'm talking to, but what if every time you say it, God says, go in the strength you have? God, how we plant churches? Go in the strength you have. God, how we mobilize people? Go in the strength you have. God, how we meet the needs of this church plant? Go in the strength you have. You see, logic questions God, faith questions assumptions. Because questions aren't bad. I want us to understand that questions are actually good, but it matters where our questions are rooted. If we're asking questions based off of assumptions that God has to work the way we deem God capable of working, then we miss the power of God. We miss the moves of the Holy Spirit. But if we allow our faith to question the assumptions, then we're able to see God move powerfully. You know, I'm going to let y'all in on a secret that ain't so much of a secret. God hears his people. God hears the cries of his people. That's what we saw in Judges 6. God heard their cries for help, and he answered. You know, we've been praying for this community, and something specifically we've been praying for is a sit go on MLK. If you've come down from this way, you've seen the sit go. And a few months ago, I talked about how we had met with the mayor at the sit-go, and while we were there, there was a drug bust. While we were there, it was a woman that went to the side and cleaned herself in broad daylight. And y'all heard my heart about it, but it didn't stop with prayer. It moved toward action. And so on Thursday, there was a hearing about the sit-go. Angel was able to go. A few pastors from Southwest Atlanta were able to go, and busload of community members went. And now it is going to move to shut down the sit-go. Y'all can clap for that. Because God, while we were praying, God was working. While we were wondering if we had our own assumptions, the people don't want better. We had an assumption that the darkness is too dark. The drug dealers have such a stronghold on that sit-go. The prostitution is too great. The presence is too real. Nothing will change. We can all have some assumptions. But instead of leaning into the assumptions, God said, go in the strength you have. And just like Gideon, God is calling you to go in the strength you have. You know, I wholeheartedly believe God is trying to do something big in the life of this church. God is trying to go beyond what we can see, what we can imagine, and what we can even begin to conceive. And yet, God is also saying, hey, y'all got to take the ceiling off. Like, there's not enough faith in what God can accomplish for me to give you everything that I have to give you. And you don't have to dream about everything. You don't have to feel like you need to be stretched to dream about the space for the children experiencing homelessness. You don't have to be stretched to dream about that and then dream about the church plant and then dream about what God wants to do in this neighborhood and then dream about what God can do with this building. Dream about one thing. Find one thing that you will be consistent in prayer about when it comes to seeking the Holy Spirit in God's work. You see, but it even goes to you personally. I mean, our assumptions say that, God, I don't know if you can pay this bill. I'm stretched. God is saying, go in the strength you have. I will supply. God is, I don't know if you can save me from this sin. And God is like, I can. There's a reason you're listening. There's a reason you're there. There's a reason that your heart is being prompted towards the scriptures. Go in the strength you have. God is saying, I don't know. God, you're saying, I don't know, God, if I can overcome this thing that's holding on to me. And God is saying, there is forgiveness and repentance. Go in the strength you have. See, somewhere along the way, we got to lock into the fact that God loves us before we're ready. God protects us before we want to be protected. God chooses us when we don't even choose ourselves. And God uses us when we don't want to be used. See, God isn't looking at us and saying, yeah, they're too young. I mean, you got 1 Timothy 4:12 for that. God is saying, God, you can't use me, God, I'm too old. Well, you got Abraham. Moses didn't start leading the people until he was 80. So if you're under 80, and then if you're over 80, I mean, you got Methuselah, you got Noah. And I think that covers everybody in the room. But as we close out, I want to close out in Judges chapter 7, because it's not just where Gideon started, but I want us to zoom in on where God took Gideon when Gideon decided to just take the ceilings off. Judges chapter 7, starting in verse 17, it says this: watch me, he told them. This is Gideon speaking. Follow my lead. He has some confidence now, doesn't he? Over this time, while God is working with him, he's developed from I'm the least to follow me. In verse 18, when I and all who are with me blow our trumpets, then from all around the camp, blow yours and shout for the Lord and for Gideon. Gideon and the 100 men with him reached the edge of the camp at the beginning of the middle watch, just after they had changed the guard. They blew their trumpets and broke the jars that were in their hands. Verse 20, the three companies blew the trumpets and smashed the jars, grasping the torches in their left hands and holding in their right hands the trumpets they were to blow. They shouted a sword for the Lord and for Gideon. While each man held his position around the camp, all the Midianites ran, crying out as they fled. Y'all, I don't want to leave this part of the story out, because in Gideon's mind, they didn't have what it took to fight the Midianites. But in God's mind, they would never have to fight in the first place. And so when we move through the story, we recognize that a big part of following the Spirit is trusting that God will fight the battles that we never have to fight. God will move in ways that we never have to move. And all we need to do is be obedient. All they did, and you can read back in earlier of the chapter, Gideon and his boys heard that the Midianites had a dream. So the Midianites were scared based off of a dream. Gideon and his army had gotten whittled down to 300. And so by all metrics and all measurements, it wouldn't make sense for only 301 people to defeat these people who've been oppressing them for 7 years. But because Gideon leaned into God and got the strength from God, all Gideon had to do was blow a trumpet, light a match. You mean to tell me I'm going to win a fight if I blow a trumpet and make some noise? But it defied the logic and the assumptions that existed in the Israelites. Their assumptions was, we need military might. We need strategy. We need all of these things because that's what they got. And instead, God said, but you got me. And in the same way, for us, we're saying, I need A, B, and C. I need this to make sense, that to make sense, and the third thing to make sense. Insert whatever it is for you. But whatever it is, God is saying, but you got me. And even if you don't have God yet, God is like, but you can get me. Because God freely gives salvation. God freely gives love. God freely gives God's presence. And so as we close, I just want us to remember that we all have assumptions, but we can't be caged by them. We all have opportunities to take off the ceiling. You know, I don't know where you are in your walk with God. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what resonated with you today, but I want you to know. Oh, man. I just want you to know, go in the strength you have. If you got a little bit, go in the strength you have. If you got a lot and you have something to lend to somebody, go in the strength you have. If you have an opportunity to help somebody, go in the strength you have. And so I got a challenge for y'all. How many of y'all like challenges? Be honest. Raise your hand if you like challenges. Oh, y'all like challenges with conditions. Got it. Y'all want to know what it is first. Okay. Well, last week, Angel gave everybody a challenge to pray with somebody. This week, I want to challenge you to take it a step further. Ask somebody about their spiritual journey and engage a conversation about their journey with God and your journey with God. That's your challenge. That means me and Angel talked about this. When you pray for somebody, you can just say, hey, how can I pray for you and leave? But see, to take it a step further, there's a level of investment that we got to have. In order for us to move forward, we got to be willing to say, you know what, I got to get out of my comfort zone. And then I can't make an assumption about this person in front of me. Because in our walks with God, it's easy to make assumptions. It's easy to assume they don't want it. But then it's also easy to assume they ain't got it. And so what if you said, tell me about your journey with God. What do you think about God? Do y'all know how many meaningful conversations that has led to in my life? And so what if we just took it that one step further to say that? Because I believe we will all benefit from sitting down and having a sincere conversation about God and how God moves in our lives. As we prepare to take communion, I want to allow us a moment to reflect on the assumptions. You know, I mean, we got an opportunity to see Jesus work in each and every one of our lives, to see the Holy Spirit at work. But communion is simply the time where we thank God that Jesus didn't lean into assumptions. Jesus could have assumed that dying on the cross was useless. Jesus could have assumed that none of y'all would even listen. Jesus could have assumed that none of y'all would have responded. But instead, Jesus took the ceiling off so that we could have a chance to know him. Let us pray. God in heaven, we thank you. We thank you for your grace. As we ask you multiple questions, as we make multiple assumptions, you graciously and lovingly answer us just like you did Gideon. At no point did you get frustrated, but instead you said, you're with us. Instead you said, you love us. Instead you said, go in the strength you have. And so God, as we take this bread that represents your body and drink this juice that represents your blood, let us be reminded that it was not cheap. God, let us live as if the sacrifice that was made was indeed costly. And let us live with no ceilings. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's sermon. New sermons are uploaded each Monday morning. Simply search The Path Church Atlanta in iTunes, Spotify, or your favorite podcasting service. Additionally, we greatly appreciate your feedback on iTunes. If you would like to learn more about The Path, we encourage you to visit www.thepath.church. We hope to fellowship with you soon.